Amen. Thank you, Sherry. Go back to Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 4. Sunday's message, as most of you know, was on the subject of faith. Faith. And we ended that message by saying this, and it bears repeating, that faith does not save us. Faith does not save us. Christ saves. Faith is not a thing or a power or any such thing. Faith is simply trust in a person. That's what saving faith is. It's not a power in itself. It's just a gift of God to know who Christ is, see your need of Him, and trust Him. Faith is not, and this is not, I'm not trying to impress you, faith is not subjective. That is, it doesn't look to itself. It doesn't look within. Faith is objective. Faith as an object. Faith is simply looking to Christ for everything. Faith is not, you don't have faith in your faith. You don't have faith in your faith. But you have faith in Christ. We're not to trust our faith. But we're to trust Christ. Does that make sense? A few of us were talking back in the back after the morning message about faith, and the illustration was brought up about a ship on the ocean. How that the passengers on board a ship on the ocean, it doesn't matter how much faith they have in that ship. Their faith is not going to get them safely to the shore. Right? What is going to determine whether they make it to the shore? Their salvation. What determines whether they make it safely to the shore? Their faith in the ship? It's the ship. And the captain behind the helm. And so one can have great faith, but that doesn't determine their salvation. One can have little faith. That has no bearing on their salvation. If anyone makes it safely, it will be because of the ship and the one who controls it. And that's a good illustration of salvation. Christ is called the ark of safety, like Noah's ark. All those, the scripture says, that all those that were in the ark with Noah were safe. They landed safely on the shore. There was Noah. And Noah had confidence in the Lord. He had strong faith, did he not? I'm certain he did. I know he did. He built that ark for 120 years. And so he had strong confidence. He believed the Lord. And then when that rain came, he said, well, the Lord said it would. And that boat was tossed to and fro, and I believe Noah was quite confident in the safety of that ark. And then there were others, perhaps his daughters-in-law. Perhaps they had very little faith and they were scared to death. But they all made them because of the ark. They were with Noah in the ark. And Christ is the believer's ark. Now, faith won't determine whether you make it or not.
but it will make the journey a little better.
Faith does have something to do with your peace during the trip. Does that make sense?
You can rest or you can worry. You can trust the Lord who sent the storm, or you can stay up all night. So it does have something to do with your peace. Peace. Peace by believing. Trusting Christ. All right, here in this story, I love this story. I hope you anticipated looking at this as we read it together. It says the same day, verse 35, same day, that is, that same day when he entered into that boat. Apparently it was early in the day when he got into that ship, and it was late in the evening when he finished preaching. And when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, all of God's Word is significant. If we had the time and we had the capacity, we could see great things in every line and every word. There are no idle words. There are no mere narrations, but infinite truth in a line. This is a picture of our lives. This whole story is our life. What is your life? And it says, teach us to number our, what? Days, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Brother Charles Ross is 80 years old. It's gone just like that. I'm sure he would tell you it's gone just like that. But a day, just a day. And these are the last days for all of us. The days preceding our Lord's imminent return. And the Lord says to His disciples, the Lord is saying to His disciples, let us pass over to the other side. The day is spent. The night is... let's cross over. What do you say? So you see, every line is significant. We're getting ready to cross over Jordan, Brother Henry. But there's some storms ahead. Let us pass over. And it says in verse 36, they had sent away the multitude, many, the Lord has passed by many. But He had His disciples in the ship. He was with them, and they were in the ship together. And there were other little ships, we're going to see. Verse 36 says there were other little ships. The church is like a ship. Remember that? Remember that, Ron? It's the fellowship of the gospel. All our life that is in the church is spent in this ship. Christ, that's our. He is our life. And we're devoted to this ship, Christ our ark. And everybody in the ship has one common goal, don't they? One vocation. So it is with those in the ship. Well, He sent away the multitude. The Lord passes by many people. He doesn't have to choose anyone. Many people find fault with God's sovereign electing grace, but not those who been chosen, because they know they didn't deserve it. And had He not chosen them, they would not have chosen Him. He chose these disciples and kept reminding them of it. And He put them in this boat. Now look, it says in verse 36, when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him in the ship. They're going to take Him over the ocean to the other side. Yeah, right. I thought that was the Holy Spirit. God's word is not without irony or humor in that respect. But they took him in the ship. Who's taking who here? We're going to see in a few minutes, aren't we, Ed? We're going to see just who's taking who. Who's in control? Well, Christ was with them in the ship. What we're going to see here is that what they went through, he went through. And what they went through, he determined it. He purposed it. He willed it. It was in his purpose. Frightful as it was, traumatic as it was, yet he was with them. And he's the one that did it. On purpose. For their good. All right. It says they took him. Well, verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. A great storm of wind arose. Modern meteorologists, that's a fancy word for weathermen, would say that the jet stream was moving in from the west and met a cold front from the east and collided with warm air from the north, and moisture came down and thereby caused a turbulent in the clouds and thereby and so on and so forth. Now that is maybe the scientific explanation, but here is the biblical explanation of everything. The scripture says, I read to you from Exodus 15, and this is Moses' song. It's an old song. Moses knew it. With a blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap. The depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The Lord is the one. David knew this. God's people know well that the Lord is the first cause of all things. Psalm 29, David said in verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the water. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. So the Lord sent this. Take all explanation you will, but the Lord is the one that sent this. And when you hear it thunder, what is that? You know well, don't you? That's the voice of the Lord. When he said, Father, glorify thy name. And the Father said, some thought it thundered, but the Father said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it. When you hear it thunder, you know that it's the Lord's voice. When you see the clouds, what do you think? What does the Scripture say the clouds are? The dust of his feet. The Lord's stirring. When you see the cloud. When you feel the wind blow, what do you think? That's the blast of his nostrils. Know that it's his breath. Think of the Holy Spirit, which is the wind which bloweth where it listeth. I love how the Lord makes fools out of weathermen. Well, just reveals that they what they already are anyway. Because you can't predict the wind, try as they might. You can't predict the wind. They can come fairly close. 50% chance of rain. That's pretty close, isn't it? Well, I want you to see here in this story that whatever the disciples went through, the Lord did too. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 with me. Whatever the disciples went through, the Lord went through it. Because we have an high priest who's touched. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 15. It says, we have an high priest. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, without unbelief. He went through this storm. And he was tempted in all points, like as we are. Look at chapter 5, verse 2. It says, he can have compassion on the ignorant. And we're going to see how that though the Lord rebuked the disciples, yet he had compassion on them. He always did. It says he can have compassion on the ignorant, on them that are out of the way, but he himself was compassed with infirmity. He limited himself to a human body to know how we feel. He lived by faith. Go back to chapter 2. I like this. Chapter 2, verse 10. It says, It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. That is God. It became him in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Down in verse 14, for as much as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And these disciples thought they were going to die in this story. They thought they were going to die. You can't die when Christ is with you, when you're in with Christ. You can't die. Didn't he say that, John? He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But in all points he was tempted, as we are, compassed with infirmities. And this great storm that they were going through. Go back to the text now. This great storm, it says the waves beat the ship. Verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind. Brother John Cheesley was in the study talking about how these disciples were professional fishermen. They've been fishing since they were boys. They were raised on the ocean. They'd seen a few squalls before. They'd seen a few storms. And they thought this was the big one. They thought this was it. They really did. Perfect storm. That's a misnomer. Anyway, they thought this was the one. They thought this was the big one. The biggest they'd ever seen. Anyway, it says the waves beat the ship. Not just waves lapping at the boat, but they were crashing over the ship. And it says the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The boat was filling up with water. This thing was getting desperate. The boat was filling up with water. Wave after wave was coming. Now, most of us are not called on to go through what Job did. If you've read the story of Job, you know that no human being, I don't think, other than our Lord, endured such suffering as Job. No one. Abraham, it says, in his old age, had his most severe trials. But they were to be used greatly, and that's why the Lord sends these trials. Nevertheless, all of us will be called on to go through trials, all believers. What's faith for if it's not tried? Why do you need faith? Why do you need faith? Faith will be tried. Isn't that what James said? Isn't that what Peter said? The trial of your faith? It's precious. That is, the Lord sends it to reveal faith. Trials don't give faith. They prove faith. The Lord gives faith. Trials prove faith. They prove Him. He proves Himself to you through the trial. And trials and troubles will come upon all of God's people. And perhaps the biggest wave is saved for last. But in this story, it says the boat was now full. And they didn't think they could take any more. And that's a picture. And there's some who go through trial. I'm sure Job reached that point. Well, he did. You read his story. And Job cursed the day he was born after a while. And he... I might. And David said in Psalm 73, verse 10, I believe it is, he said, the waters of a full cup are wrung out on God's feet. Why? Why does wave... The Lord did not promise His people like these false preachers are telling people. Smooth sailing. That once you accept Jesus, all your troubles will be over. To the contrary. Absolutely to the contrary. The Lord said, you shall, through much tribulation. Perhaps those who don't go through any trials speak of, maybe they're not the Lord's. But prosperity is not proof of the Lord's blessing. But the Lord did not promise health, wealth, or prosperity. He did not. None of those things. He didn't have those things. Did he? I pointed out to you one time how one of the greatest prophets to ever live, Elisha, died of sickness. He got sick. What was it? Cancer. He died from sickness. Didn't he have enough faith? Had nothing to do with it. The Lord sent that sickness, and Lazarus died, didn't he? And on we could go with that. But the Lord did not promise no trials. But to the contrary, He promised that there would be trials, and many of them, wave after wave, until the ship is full. You know, maybe it's so that we'll get our fill of the world. And I know this is so, that it's for us to lean completely and totally. When all our props are gone, when all of our trust and confidence in things and people and so forth is gone, that you have nowhere else to turn but Him. That builds faith. That's faith. Well, it says that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And verse 38 says, He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Oh, my. Now, He's a man. Our Lord's a man. He has to get across that ocean. I mean, that's the way He purposed it. For Him to make... We know He could walk on the water. They couldn't. Peter tried. He could fail me. They're all going to have to go across that ocean in this ship. And the Lord's with them. He's in this storm with them. Isn't it? He's in this huge storm. But what's He doing? Now, if He makes it over, it's going to be in the ship. Who's in control of the ship? God is. The Scripture says that our Lord committed Himself to Him who judges. And the Lord lived... We've got to understand that. The Lord Jesus Christ never performed a miracle on His own behalf. He fed other people. He healed other people. He never performed a miracle on His own behalf. Satan tempted Him one time. You're hungry, aren't you? Make yourself bread. He didn't do it. Why? He lived by faith. He depended on God. Are you with me here? The Lord lived as a man. He's in this boat, and the waters are filling this boat up. He's a man. If this boat goes down, He goes down. Who's He depending on? How can He be asleep? He trusts His God. That boat can't go down. It can't go down. He trusts His God. Fill up, though it may. The Lord would do something miraculous. That's a point I wanted to labor tonight, is that the Lord was in this ship, And he purposed that if he was going to get across, he was in that boat. He limited himself. And he went through this to show his faith, because he rebukes them for not having it. Or is it a little faith? That's the lesson to be learned here about faith. It's all about faith. He was in the hinder part of the ship. Now, every part of this is significant. The hinder part of the ship. I thought of it. Why wasn't he up in the bow? Why was he in the stern of the ship? Every ship is controlled from the hinder part. The rudder is back there. The helm is back there. Captain's quarters, always in the back of the ship. Always. See those big boats, great big ships, and you see that glass with little windows on the back of the on the stern of the boat? That's the captain's quarters. That's where the helm is. You steer the ship from back to the back. And those up front, they may not know where they're going, but he does. He's controlling the ship. But he was in the hinder part of the ship, and he's asleep. He's resting. This is faith. This is faith. Like somebody in right here right now is resting well. Literally. But he is resting completely, 100%. Rest. This is faith. This is what faith is. Completely casting all your care on him. Well, you don't take any of it. You don't take any of the worries. You don't think you have any of the control. That's faith. Wouldn't you like to have just, he said, if you had just mustard seed faith. That's all I want, just mustard seed faith. If James and the boys, you know, perhaps they should have just, well, let's just go to sleep with him. That's what they said about Lazarus, wasn't it? Well, let's just go to sleep with Lazarus. If he sleeps, he does well. And so will we. We just rest on the Lord. He's undisturbed. Our Lord is undisturbed. Undisturbed. Though he was going through this, he was totally undisturbed. He had perfect faith as a man. But the disciples thought they were going to die. He knows our frame. He knows. He sent this trial. But he was asleep on purpose. He was asleep to show them that he had perfect trust in his Father. Perfect trust. But that's not how they saw it. That's not how they saw it. Well, our Lord sent this storm. He allowed it to get so severe that they thought they were going down. Like I said, they thought this was the one. This was the one that was going to, they were going to perish through it. Now, picture this. Let's just picture this with me, okay? They're sailing along on this boat. Sailboat. That's how they had to go across the ocean. They had some oars. Every ship had oars. In case of storm or whatever, you still had to make some kind of headway. If you strike sail, that is, you take down the sail, you still got to row. You can't just, if you go against a wave, you'll capsize. You got to keep the boat into the wave. Alright? They're sailing along. And the wind starts picking up. Cloud gets a little dark. And they're all doing their job. They're sailors. They're supposed to be doing their job. They're supposed to be doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be putting up sails and what have you. But the Lord slips off. He slips away from them, out of their presence. He goes back in the back and makes him a pillow out of some old sails or something. Waves, winds picking up, waves picking up, makes him a pillow. Lays his precious head down on those pillows and closes those omniscient eyes and falls asleep. Now, I don't understand that. Scripture says, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. But he did. He fell asleep. Well, things got really bad then. They continued sailing. They continued working. They continued manning the ship. And I'm sure in the course of their job, You know, they forgot about the Lord. Totally. James, get that line. John, heave to. Come up. Heave up. They forgot all about the Lord. They were all caught up in this. Oh, it's getting big. It's getting bad. They're working hard. Now, strike sales. All sales. Man, start bailing. They'd forgotten all about the Lord. They're working hard to keep this ship afloat. They're doing everything they can to keep this ship going. And we're to do what we're to do. We're to, whatever our hand finds to do, we're to do it with all our might. Scripture said it. But keep this in mind. Always. Do what you will. Try as you may. Work as hard as you want to work. Nothing depends on us. Nothing. I've heard this saying before. Work as hard as you will. Do the job you're sent to do. But know this, for your peace, for your comfort. Because you can work as hard as you will. Like these fellas, they're working as hard as and it's all going against them. They're going down. And they think, we've done all we can do. That's right. It never was up to you. So then, somebody get the Lord. That's not the time. Don't wait that long. Don't wait that long. Ah, my. They've had about all they can take. Then they think of the Lord. Look what they say. Boy, how foolish we are, huh? How foolish we are. How desperate we are. We say some stupid, faithless, mindless things, don't we, when we're in trouble? Don't we? Oh, better to keep our mouths shut. And they said in verse 38, they came back there and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Lord, Master, this boat's going down. Don't you care? And I'm not being overly critical of them because I've said the same thing. Anybody else? I've said the same thing. Going through tough things. Lord, won't you do something? What's wrong? Anybody? You want to be honest about it? Master, don't you care? Oh, don't you care? He came to this cesspool called planet Earth because he cared. He didn't have to come down here, did he? He called them. He didn't have to call them. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't care about the Lord. They could care less about that Galilean teacher. They were fishermen. That was their life. And the Lord, in sovereign mercy and sovereign grace, came by where they were and found them in their sin and unbelief. Found them who were seeking Him not, and called them by His grace. Called them, drew them, cords of love, taught them, led them, guided them, fed them, instructed them for 3.5 years, took care of their every need. I love that in the end, after 3 years, He said, I've been with you 3 years. Have you lacked anything? He said, nothing. You haven't missed one meal. We've never gone hungry. We've never been without raiment. We've never been without shelter. We've never been without comfort. We've never been without instruction. We've been led all the way, my Savior me. Carest thou not? He called them because he cared about them. Hey, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, I came calling you. And he sent this storm because he cared. He sent this storm because he cared. He cared enough about them to send this worst storm that they could possibly go through at this point in their lives. They're all young men in their late 30s or early 40s at the most. And at this young stage in their life, he sends this horrible storm, which was great mercy, because a lot of things after this are going to be. They've gone through some things with the Lord and going to go through some more. This is the first part of the gospel. They're going to go through some. Psalm 107. Go over to Psalm 107 with me. Psalm 107. This is great. You'll see why this was written. David wrote this with this story in mind. I was astounded when I went back and read this. I was astounded by this. I've always loved this this verse, Psalm 107. You have it? Verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, all of God's people do. You're going to be cast upon the ocean of God's providence. But you're not swimming. You'll not be swimming. You're in a ship in the ark. But they do business in great waters. You've got to be deep waters. Not one of these fair weather sailing ventures, you know. Deep waters. I told you my one sailing adventure, didn't I? When I was a 21-year-old fella, I got on a boat with seven other fellas, and a fella hired a captain to take this boat 850 miles down the ocean. And I was one of them. And when I first got on the boat, got on a ship, 41-foot sailing vessel, three sails, 21 tons, big ship, 50-foot mast. When I first got on the ship, you know, boy, this is neat. This is great. I like this. We were motoring out of the harbor. I hadn't put up a sail yet. Little waves lapping. Oh, this is wonderful. Sailing the high seas. Land in sight. I could swim back, Rick. If I had to, I could dive out and swim back. A little while later, we got out, lost sight of land. The sky got as black as Gabe's shirt there. The wind picked up. It put that first sail up, the main sail, cut the motor. That boat heeled over about 45 degrees. And I wanted to go home. And went 150 miles out to sea. I thought, what have I done? I'm a landlubber. But they that do, this is when you do business in great waters. It's nothing to paddle around, have a little stump your toe, but go out into great water, deep sea. That's what that means. They that go down to the sea and ship, those that are cast upon God's providence, God's omniscience and care and omnipotence and this thing of this journey, this life called salvation, that go down to the sea, in ships and do business in deep waters, troubled waters. You're not going to... We had a great captain. Oh, so glad that captain knew what he was doing. A captain on the ship. He'd been through these before. He wasn't a bit troubled. Stood there at that helm, you know. I was just hanging on the rail. He'd been through this before. He knew he was heading right out in the middle of that. And we have a captain, the captain of our salvation. Read on. Look at this. At these sea, those that go down to the ship in ships in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Read on. He commanded and raised the stormy wind and lifted up the waves. He's the one that brought it. Cancer doesn't kill people. God kills people. Accidents. There are no accidents with God. It's all on purpose. He commandeth and raiseth. He sent this stormy wind. He lifted up the waves. Read verse 26. And they mount up to the heaven. And they go down to the depth. Up and down. That's the life of a believer, isn't it? Up one day we're on the mountain. Everything's just great. Sunny sky. And then down in the valley. Oh, can't. Not a ray of sunshine. No peace in sight. Huh? Isn't that us? And their soul, verse 26, is melted because of trouble. You ever had your soul melt because of trouble and it gushes out? It's right here. Melt. And David said, I've watered my couch with my tears. Have you ever done that? Sure you have. Because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. You ever been staggered by trouble? And are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And He brings them out. Every time. This is not the only storm they went through, is it? Remember another one? This one he was asleep, the next one he was walking on the ocean. Walking. Both times to show them his absolute control over all things. Yes, he's a man, but he's the God man. I don't understand it. He was asleep, yet he never slept. He was depending on God by faith, living by faith, on God to get him over in that boat with the rest of the disciples, yet he himself had that boat in the palm of his hand. Now, would you explain that to me? That's the way it is. And we look at verse 29. He makes a storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they, that is, those that go down in the ship in great waters, they're glad because it's quiet. And he brings them. You read that next part? He bringeth them to their desired haven. He said, let's cross over. Okay, Lord. I'm with you. Let's go. Get the boat. Beautiful day. The Lord's with us. Nothing can happen. And then they thought they were goners. The Lord's with them. And nothing can happen. Except what he said. But he promised this. You're going to get your desired aid. You're going to get that. He said, let us pass over. And they passed through trials, but this shall pass before we pass over the other side. And in our text, it says in Mark chapter 4, it says in verse, He's the master of the sea, billows his will, obey. He arose, it says in verse 39, and rebuked the wind. Whatever trials the Lord sends, whatever troubles He sends, He rebukes them. He sends them, and they accomplish. Peter said, know this, that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. That is, the Lord sent them to do something to it for an accomplished end. They accomplish something. What he purposes them to do. And then when they're gone, the Lord says, get. Be gone. Rebuke the wind. And said unto the sea, peace. Be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. People talk about the calm before the storm. I'm here to talk about the calm after it. Oh, after we go through this stormy life, the peace on a happy golden shore where the faithful part no more, when the storms of life are o'er, meet me there. A calm such as we've never known. Never known. No more trouble see. And he said, but he rebuked them, didn't he? Verse 40, he gently rebuked them. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? He knew why they were fearful, didn't he? The Lord knows our frame. He remembers our frame. He knows that we're just dust and ashes. He knew, but yet they needed to be rebuked. How could they say such things? The Lord didn't care about it. Huh? How is it that you have no faith? No faith. The Lord's with you. He said He would be, didn't He? He said He always would be. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You can't see Him. He's there. He's there. So don't be without faith. Don't be so fearful. You're not in control of anything, really. And then they feared as they should. They feared Him. Then they feared exceedingly. Oh, and they said one to another, what manner of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey Him. The Lord walked out on the bow of that boat in that raging storm. Like you tell a dog, glide out. And that sea came like a farm pump. And He turned to them and said, why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? Why did you wake me up? I hope only we could just totally rest. And faith won't save you. Faith doesn't save you. It'll make the journey a little more peaceful. Make the journey a little more restful. All right, stand with me. Our Lord, thank You for enduring all things that we endure, and more so. Thank You for being tried and tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Thank You, Lord, for living by faith. Thank You for enduring suffering. Thank You for being touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Thank You for Your compassion. Thank You for all things. And Lord, if we may say so, thank You for the trials, troubles You send us through, knowing this, that the trial of our faith, being much more precious than gold that is tried with fire, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory when that will be on that other shore, perfect calm forevermore. Lord, hasten the day. That's our desired end, we pray. But give us faith, Lord. Make us trust in Thee, if just a little. It's in Christ's name we've met here. Amen. I didn't say you're dismissed. Hold on. Especially you, Charles. We're going to have a get-together downstairs in honor of our dear friend and brother, Brother Charles Ross, his 80th birthday. Everybody's invited. So come on downstairs.